This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ.
Hey there, welcome back to Getting to Know Your Bible. I'm Ray Reynolds. Excited to share with you a thought from Mark chapter 12 today as we continue our thoughts on what it means to love the Lord our God, love our neighbor, and love ourselves. I want to thank you so much for tuning in to the broadcast today. If this is your first chance, first opportunity you've had to tune in, we're glad you're here. Hope that you will stick around and watch this program and join us every time we have an opportunity to come on the air. If you watch this program every time, we have a lot of loyal supporters and followers out there. We are blessed to have you and hope that you'll continue to tune in. What we hope to be good, great Christian content that'll bless you in your walk with God. As I mentioned, our text will be Mark chapter 12. We'll dig in there in just a minute. But before we do that, I want to give you an opportunity to take advantage of a free Bible correspondence course. It's very important that we get to know our Bible. That's what we're all about here on this program, is learning to read and study and apply the Word of God. And if you'd like to grow in your spiritual walk and learn more about the Holy Scriptures, this is an opportunity for you to do that. It is non-denominational. It's absolutely free. All you have to do is to write in, call in, or log on the website and sign up for this course. And so you can learn more about the course and how you can take it. We're going to pause here for just a moment. Hi there, I'm Ray Reynolds, the Marketing Director for Getting to Know Your Bible. I want to encourage you to check out Pray.com, a resource where you can read daily Bible readings or get daily prayer ideas. And there you can also now find Getting to Know Your Bible. You can search for Getting to Know Your Bible or for Billy Lambert and find resources available to you through podcasts and previous programs that we'd love for you to check out. We want to encourage you in your daily walk for God. We pray that God will bless you and use this resource to do so. Thanks for tuning in to Getting to Know Your Bible.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
Our text today comes from Mark chapter 12, and we're going to pick up at verse 28, give you a little bit of background to the text. Jesus is talking with some scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, and such about the commands of God, and he's focused on the resurrection. He's focused on taxes and what you need to pay to Caesar and all these kinds of things, and they recognize that he's been answering some of the questions in such a way that they can't trip him up. And so it says that in verse 28, one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he, that is Jesus, had answered all of them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandment is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. What a great little text here. We've talked about it the last couple times we've been together, about what it means to really love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We talked about how that's got a lot of depth to it, whether it be emotional and spiritual and physical and so forth. Then we talked about being a good neighbor. In this section, he says, love your neighbor as yourself as the second commandment. But really, it's hard to love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. Some years ago, I took an interest in studying about counseling and in mental health and spent a considerable amount of time in the last 30 years gathering research and books and trying to be better equipped as a minister to help people in mental health crisis. Not long ago at our congregation, we did an entire class series called Mental Health and the Bible. We talked about the necessity of dealing with things like anxiety and depression and PTSD, and looking at characters within the scriptures that struggled with those particular issues, or at least that would be our diagnosis, even though none of us are professionals in that field. And it also challenged us to be able to look a little more inward, to be able to recognize when something's off, when something that we're struggling with needs to be addressed. Just to be quite frank about it, the church has not always done a good job leading the charge on mental health issues. We've not always been the best to be able to share thoughts and insights from scripture. When I was a kid, I remember people saying, well, if you're anxious, that's a sin. You know, the Bible tells us not to be anxious for anything, so you shouldn't be anxious. Well, I don't know if you've ever had to take a test before, or if you've ever had to do anything in public before where you're giving a speech or something like that. Anxiety is part of life. Some of us have a hard time answering the phone when we know it's an important phone call, or doing an interview when we know that that's necessitated. We get nervous, we get shook up. But it is perfectly normal for a person to struggle with anxiety. It's normal to deal with depression. It's normal to deal with guilt. It's normal to deal with those kinds of things. And we need to be able to see from a biblical perspective how to handle it. And I think that wraps up in this message here about learning to love yourself. If you hear nothing else I'm going to say today, I hope that you'll hear and understand this statement. God loves you. He absolutely adores you. He sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins. He has constantly made a way in your life so that you might be able to see Him, to recognize Him, and to follow Him. And when you have a God that loves you as much as He loves you, you should know that He is providing for you multiple opportunities through each and every day of ways to receive help, aid, encouragement. If you're a Christian, you have a whole family, a host of people around you that hopefully have been able to reach out to you and say, "Hey, look, I've walked the same roads." When people come to our congregation who are struggling or suffering through addiction or whatever the case may be, we have members in our church family that will reach out. In fact, I'll go to them and say, "Hey, would you please talk to this individual? They're struggling through something you have dealt with. Maybe they've traveled down that same road and they can work through it together." So I want you to know that today, that God loves you. And because God loves you, because God adores you, He wants you to see His plan for your life. He has a way. He'll make a way in your life. The Bible tells us that He will never leave us or forsake us, that He works all things together for good. It tells us that when regarding our sin, that He remembers it no more. He blots it out. He separates it as far as the east is from the west. He buries it in the depth of the ocean, scatters it on the seashore. Dozens and dozens of scriptures remind us that God is a forgiving and a loving and a gracious God. People say sometimes the Old Testament is full of wrath and the New Testament has mercy and grace. I would take issue with that. If you've ever read the Minor Prophets, there are several times that God should have thrown in the towel completely, as He did with Noah's day. And He said, "I'm just going to start over." There are many times the Israelites turned their backs and served other gods, and God gave them after a generation another chance. Cycle after cycle, ad nauseum in the book of Judges. Over and over, they continue in sin, but because of God's love for His people, He continually gives them second chances. You need to see your own value. You need to see your own purpose. You need to see that God can and will make a way. That God loves you. And if God loves you, you ought to learn to love yourself. You may say today, "Well, Ray, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the guilt that I carry. You don't know the burdens that I have to bear. You just can't quite comprehend all the things that are in my mind." And no, I can't. I don't know that. I can't reach through this camera and give you a hug. I can't reach through this camera and try to help you through it personally, but I can pray for you. And I hope that you will, if you have been blessed enough to learn to love yourself, you'll share that love with other people, that you'll be able to see God at work in your life and in the lives of other people around you, that you can see your individual purpose, that God has a plan, and God is making a way. God's ways are higher than our ways. I can't figure it out. There are times I've prayed for years for something to happen and God said no and I got upset. "Why, God, can't you answer this prayer?" Well, because He has something better in store. It's kind of like having a kid come and say, "Hey, I want a candy bar. I want a candy bar all day long. I want a candy bar." You're going to spoil your dinner, right? That's what my mom used to say. You're going to spoil your dinner. We think it's so nice to have that sugar, but a lot of sugar gives you a bellyache. There are certain times that our Father knows what's going to impact our belly or our mind or our spirit. And so He has to say no. That's because He loves us. He chastens us. In many different ways, He tries to walk us through whatever we're facing. He's by our side. He's, again, promised never to leave us or forsake us. And if God is for us, Paul argues, then who can be against us? If I'm going to love myself, I've got to, first of all, learn to keep myself accountable. Because if I love myself, I'm going to make the necessary changes to better follow Him. That means that I'm going to become that new creature in Christ Jesus. It means that I'm going to believe the words of the Hebrew writer in chapter 9 and verse 27 that reminds me that all will give an account to God. All of us, we live, we die, and then there's the judgment. And I need to be prepared for eternity. If I love myself, I'm going to ensure that this life is not in vain, that I want to make sure I make a difference. Some people tell me all the time, "Well, I don't know how much of a difference I can make." You're going to make a difference to somebody. I read online about a young man who had passed away, And before the week was over, they had already put up at his business site on his Facebook page. You can call it insensitive. You can call it whatever you want. But his business had already put up signs that they needed to fill his position and they needed to fill it fast. That family's still grieving. That widow, those children are still grieving the loss of a father. They're still grieving the loss of someone that meant the whole world to them. You can't be replaced at home. You can be replaced at work. You can be replaced at school. You can be replaced in other places, but not at home. Your family needs you. They need you there. They need you present. And so if I have one life to live, I'm going to invest in relationships that matter. I'm going to invest in my relationship with God. That's the most important thing that matters. And if I'm going to love my God with everything in me, I'm going to love my neighbor as I love myself, I look inward and say, I'm going to hold myself accountable. I've never been a part of a 12-step program or a 10-step program, but I'm very familiar with the way a lot of them run, and they usually will go in sync one step after another to be able to show that as we move forward in our growth, we make additional changes. And we see that it's a process. Learning to love ourselves is kind of a part of that process. We get mad at ourselves. In fact, I talk to myself a lot. When I drop something, I'll say, Ray, you know, or I'll get on to myself. Say, I can't believe I just did that. My wife just giggles at me. But it's just kind of the way I am. I get upset with myself and get frustrated and say, why did I do that? I'm quick to take the blame. So we need to hold ourselves accountable when we make mistakes. We need to be able to look and say, okay, that's something I don't want to do again. I'm going to make a change. I had a professor one time that said, you know, it usually feels pretty good when we stop going to school. We finally decide not to go back and we've graduated and got everything done. He says, it's kind of like beating your head against the wall. Once you stop, it feels pretty good. And I think there are some things in our own lives we just get to riding a dead horse. We hold our guilt. Instead, we should learn and grow from whatever we've experienced. Sometimes you can learn from your mistakes. You can learn also from the mistakes of others. You see someone fail and you say, okay, I'm not going to do that. I often remind people too of WD-40. You're probably familiar with that. Again, they're not paying for an advertisement, but WD-40 is called WD-40 because it is water displacement number 40. On his 40th try, he was able to finally complete the mixture that he needed to be successful. And rather than giving it some cool name, he just left it at WD-40. In our lives, when we make mistakes or other people's mistakes, we learn from those things and we say, I'm going to hold myself accountable. I'm not going to do that again. And it's good to have a partner. If you have a spouse, you have a built-in partner there. But maybe friends that are in your group that will remind you, hey, look, we're going to hold you accountable. You've said you don't want to do that anymore. And you get a chance to repent. Loving yourself also means self-building. As a kid, I would often watch TV late at night and watch Saturday Night Live, and there was a guy on there that would often, his name was Stuart Smalley, and he'd say, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. My brother and I would just laugh at that goofy guy in the sweater because we'd think, man, that's self-help, that's self-medication, you know, he's giving himself a spiritual self-esteem. He's trying to give himself hilarious, but there are times we need to look deep within our souls and say, I need to build myself up. I need to say things about myself. Don't believe the lies that people tell about you. If you've been hurt by somebody or someone is doing something to cause you harm or gossip about you, don't hold that as a vengeance, but recognize that they just simply don't understand what they're doing. Learn to let those things go. Forgive when they need to be forgiven. Back in the garden, the fall of man was a terrible tragedy that cost us all. We're all going to have to die physically because of Adam and Eve in the garden. But from that point forward, God still continued to walk with his children. He still continued to give us second chances on the ark of all the things that God says, I'm just going to cleanse the whole earth. We know that he gives us a second chance. He gives Noah and his family an opportunity to get off that boat and start over. Build yourself up. Look at the blessings God has provided for you. Make a list of the things God has blessed you with. I don't know if you have a prayer list. We have one written. We have a chalkboard. My wife has an old Raggedy Ann and Andy chalkboard she's had since she was a child. And we have it up on our wall, and we in chalk will write down our prayer requests. And we will occasionally put praise items, but it's usually prayer requests so that we have to walk by that wall every day on the way to the kitchen, and it's the same wall going out to the garage. And so we have that list of people we want to pray for. But we also need to make a list of our blessings, of praise items. What do you think about yourself? Do you think about good things when it comes to you? Again, God loves you. There's something about you that's lovable. Some people, as they grow older, it's a little harder to find. Some people are so grumpy. I mean, they look like they've been weaned on a pickle. They're unhappy with life. We've got Karens everywhere, you know, and it's so hard to deal with some people. But when we look within ourselves, we can't listen to the voices of others. We've got to listen to the voice of God. We've got to remember, as the psalmist says, "Who's man that thou art mindful of him?" Well, God is mindful of you. He's mindful of you in that he loves you. He provides for you. And so you build yourself up. Make a list of the things that you want to accomplish. And when you accomplish them, give yourself some credit. I had a hard time early on in college being able to get assignments done. I hate procrastination, so I want to get them done as quick as I can. But sometimes it would just become so hard. You'd sit down and write a paper, and then you had to write another one. And I found a friend who told me, he said, "The best thing you can do is reward yourself." I said, "Well, how do you do that?" He says, "When you complete a paper, make a goal that you're going to take a break. You know, eat a snack, watch a short program, play a video game." And it worked for me as I finally started rewarding myself. My favorite thing about diets is cheating Friday. You know, Friday's your cheat day, or whatever your cheat day is. Maybe it's a cheat meal. If it's my birthday, you know, that calories on your birthday don't count, right? So we have ways that we reward ourselves. Look at the good. And when you accomplish a goal, you should praise God for it and be happy. One time my son was talking about being proud of the kids in his play. And the director of the play got very angry with him. And she told him, she said, "Pride is the fall. It's going to lead to a fall. Pride is of the devil." And it really broke his little heart. And I told him, I said, "Well, there's nothing wrong with being proud of your accomplishments. There's something wrong with having a proud look. There's something wrong with puffing yourself up. But being proud of yourself and accomplishing goals is a good thing. So if you want to love yourself, build those things. Third of all, you got to have self-control. There's several places in Scripture we could go, but one I want to go to is Galatians chapter 5. You know, Paul gives the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's right there at the end, and I've often wondered why it's last. Probably because if we had to start with self-control, we wouldn't start at all. We don't like to tell ourselves no. We don't like to say to ourselves, "You can't have that," or "You can't do that." It's hard. When's the last time you told yourself no? When's the last time you said, I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm not going to watch that show. I'm not going to listen to that music. I'm not going to drink that or smoke that or whatever the case may be. When is the last time you said no to yourself? It's easier to say no to other people. But when it comes to ourselves, when do you tell yourself no? Self-control is saying no to all those works of the flesh that Paul talked about previously. It begins with love. Again, love your Lord, your God, love your neighbor, love yourself. That's the first greatest commandment, second greatest commandment. But at the end of that, if you really want to reach perfection, you learn how to control yourself. You ever watch someone when they're upset and their face starts to flush red and they get real mad and start gritting their teeth? And, well, self-control is a problem for that individual. We have to quiet our spirit and stillness, know that God will take control, God will handle it, and also that this particular situation will pass. I keep journals. Over the years, I've written several journals, and I've gone back to some written around 2000, 2004 or 5, and I have seen me on the pages of those journals wrestling with things and crying out to God for help for something that's going on. I can't even remember what that situation was about. It's so far-fetched to me to think at that time that I would have a time in my life where I would say that's really no big deal. For our kids, they completely panic. They worry about something over and over and over. We tell them, say, "Buddy, you know, that's not something you need to get worked up about." Self-control is learning to be able to execute that other part, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. We've learned to adapt to spiritual things and to let go of physical things. Works of the flesh shouldn't tempt us anymore. We say, "I don't need that stuff. I don't need it for a lot of reasons." I've had a lot of people in ministry that have come to me with addictions. One is pornography. People have come and said, "I'm struggling with this. How can I deal with this?" And I tell them, you know, you need to look at that person as a soul. That's someone's daughter or mother or son or wife or husband or whatever the case may be. We take a spiritual look at it. Same thing with the things we put into our body or the things that we do to our body. Is it harming us? Is it, we're supposed to be the temple of God. I've got to have self-control. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it tells us that God will always make a way of escape. There's an opportunity to take a different road. And so what things could we do in our life to prove we practice self-control? Do you know self-control is a quality of an elder? Of an elder, a shepherd, a pastor in the church? We're to have self-control. We are not brawlers. You're not supposed to be angry. You're not supposed, those are not becoming of a Christian. So self-control is necessary. Another thing, fourth thing, is having determination. Self-determination. I am going to make a commitment to love myself, to appreciate who I am and what God has called me to be. There's a story in Matthew 25 about a man that's given talents, three guys actually, and one of them is given one talent. You remember the story, what he did? He took the talent and he went and he buried it in the ground. He brings it back, says, you know, I knew you were a hard man. You reap where you hadn't sowed, so I just buried it and here it is back. It didn't appreciate the value of that talent. And of course, the master says, give it to the other guy. He doesn't need this. He's not using it properly. Could have at least invested it in the bank, but instead you just dug a hole in the ground and hid it. And probably if it had damaged the talent, it would have lessened the value of it. But the story Jesus tells to us is for a purpose, that each of us are given specific gifts. Each of us are given separate opportunities, places to be. We need to see where we are as our mission field. Our neighbors, that's our mission field. The kids at school, we go to school with, lockers next to us, our mission field. The guy in the cubicle next to you, that's your mission field. The lady or the man that's next to you where you're eating in the restaurant, or the waitress or the waiter, that's your mission field. Everywhere you go, you're a missionary. You're an ambassador of Christ. So make a determination that you're going to use your talents to God's glory. And love has to be behind it. How do I know that? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul talks about, you know, I can do all these great things. I can do great miracles. I can, but all that, if there is not love, it is worthless. Because in the end, love is really the only thing that matters. It's that first part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's a summary of the commands of God. And I've got to be determined that I'm going to see my value and I'm going to use my talents. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, the Bible talks about equipping ourselves for ministry. It goes through a list of people, pastors, teachers, evangelists, so forth. It says, for the equipping of the saints for ministry, we need to be active in ministry. If you love yourself, you will use the talents God gave you for a holy purpose. There are certain things that some of us can do. We may not even realize how good we are in using that talent if we don't try. I challenge every man in our congregation to read scripture, to lead a public prayer. Some are really nervous when they do it, but I encourage them to do it. Some do devotionals and sermons and such. And I think it's a wonderful blessing to get as many people involved in work and service as possible. But there are other people that have other talents. Maybe your talent is doing spreadsheets. Well, that's a great thing. Doing finances, budget. The church needs people that can do that. Counselor, nurses, doctors, mechanics. All of us have some kind of a talent that can contribute to the work of the Lord. I can't tell you the churches I've worked for where we've had to repair something at the church, or we've had to do something for an office or for a member or something, and we pool our resources and we can get the job done. There are enough men and women in our congregation. We can accomplish just about anything we set our minds to do because God has blessed us. He blesses us. And if you're not a part of a church family, I encourage you to do that. It's very hard to live your spiritual walk alone. You need to be around other people. So determine in your life, you're going to use your talents to God's glory. You're going to be a part of a church family, and you're going to work things together in your life for God's good. You know, God's for the good of the kingdom. God's working things together for you. So what could you do for him? And finally, we need to have self-esteem. If you love yourself, you have self-esteem. Strong self. We're born with buckets of self-esteem. I love kids. I'm around kids all the time. We have kids at our congregation. I got one right now. She jumps into my arms as soon as she comes in the door. She wants me to carry her around. And I love talking to kids about what's going on in their little world. What's going on at school? You know, what's going on with your friends? You know, things like that. And kids are wonderful little creatures because they think they can do anything. Well, I'm the smartest kid there is. I had one kid one time. He said, I'm the fastest kid on the planet. I'm like, really? We're born with buckets of self-esteem. We think we can accomplish anything. But this harsh and cruel world and our enemy, the devil, tries to beat that out of us, to make us think we can't do something, that we're guilty. He tries to convince us in our minds, you can't do anything for God. You're unworthy. And he's right. We are unworthy. And Satan tries to get us, challenge us to say we can't accomplish anything good. But I remind you of what Solomon told us in Ecclesiastes, that we were all created good. We found all kinds of ways to be evil. But we need to build that self-esteem again. I remind you again of John 3:16. God so loved the world. But you could take that word world out and put your name. God so loved Ray that he gave his one and only begotten son. God loves you. Again, you cannot say that enough. Look in the mirror. God loves you. He loves me. And the goal of being a faithful child of God is to see my value. And then if I love myself, I'll see the value in others. Look at each person as a precious soul that needs encouragement, starting with yourself. And if you learn to see your value and your purpose, and you learn to love yourself as God does, you might be able to change the world you live in, and eventually we can change the world. I thank you so much for tuning in to the broadcast. I hope that it has blessed you. Our goal is to just encourage you and let you know about the necessity of seeing your value, and also knowing that the Bible provides all the instruction we need to be able to live a life of integrity, a life that is righteous, a life that is godly, and ultimately that faithful life will lead us home. On that final day, Jesus says it'll be said to those who are righteous, well done, good and faithful servant. Don't you long to hear those words? We encourage you to keep striving. Get to know your Bible, get to know your Lord, and walk with him daily. Read your Bible. If you have not signed up for the free Bible correspondence course, do that. Sign up. Study the Word of God. If we can pray for you, if we can help you find a church family in your area, we encourage you. Don't hesitate to reach out. That's what we're here for. In the meantime, we are glad you tuned in. Hope you'll be back with us again soon. Check out our website, our social media sites. Visit us on pray.com so that we can encourage you in more ways in addition to the broadcast today. Until we meet again, we hope that God will bless you and keep you. That is our humble prayer. Hi there, I'm Ray Reynolds, the Marketing Director for Getting to Know Your Bible. I want to encourage you to check out pray.com, a resource where you can read daily Bible readings or get daily prayer ideas. And there you can also now find Getting to Know Your Bible. You can search for Getting to Know Your Bible or for Billy Lambert and find resources available to you through podcasts and previous programs that we'd love for you to check out. We want to encourage you in your daily walk for God. We pray that God will bless you and use this resource to do so. Thanks for tuning in to Getting to Know Your Bible.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.